Welcome to On Strategy Showcase. I'm Fergus O'Carroll in Chicago. You can see all of the creative work associated with this show and all of our shows on our website at onstrategyshowcase.com. And you can connect with me on LinkedIn. Love to be connected with folks, so feel free to do that. I know the last couple of episodes I've been talking about the ways that I've been struggling with my microphone. I tried a new microphone for a while, but I'm like done with it. So I'm back to my original microphone and I think it's better. So hopefully the gremlins in my sound quality are now fixed. I am thrilled today to have Jeff McCrory back on the show. Jeff is the Chief Strategy Officer and partner at Mischief in New York. Now, Mischief, and you know, unless you've been under a rock for the last 3 years or more, you know that Mischief has been doing just amazing work. And I am constantly sort of thrilled when I hear the way that Mischief works, because as you're going to hear in this episode, Mischief is very flexible. It is not a very egocentric, process-centric agency. It's very open to working with ideas that aren't of the agency. It's very flexible working with clients, and it's very flexible in working with good strategists from inside and outside the agency. And I think what you're going to be hearing today is a great credit to the fact that what they're really about is just getting to great ideas. How they get there doesn't matter. They just know that with the right talent in place, they're going to get there. And also, I think what makes Mischief fantastic is great clients. Now, I've had a number of their clients on the show, and it's always been a good experience. Today, we're going to be talking with George Felix. And George is the CMO at Chili's Grill and Bar, which is a national chain of casual dining restaurants here in the U.S. It's been around, I think it's 50 years this year. And what's amazing about George comes from an absolute stellar background. He was the CMO at Tinder, and he worked with Mischief, I believe, on the Tinder work. He was the CMO at KFC for the Colonel campaign when he worked with Wyden and Kennedy. And he worked on Old Spice. He worked on that brand when it was doing that phenomenal work, The Man You Wish Your Man Smelled Like, that incredible campaign, which was from Wyden and Kennedy also. Now, what's really interesting and a credit to Mischief is the fact that a friend of the show, Britton Taylor, who's a strategist, he used to work at Wyden, and now he's out working independently. But he contributed to this campaign development with George Felix, because George was Britton's client. And I think we can all learn a lesson from this, which is be open to ideas in whatever form they come in and from whomever they come from. And don't feel that you have to have your own people work on it. If your goal is to deliver business results, just be sort of agnostic about where the ideas come from. I think many agencies would have shut down on involving another freelance strategist that was coming from the client side. I think they at least would want to undermine them, if truth be told. And then also the fact that the CMO, in this case George, came to Mischief with a pretty fully baked idea. And yet Mischief didn't try and discount that. They went and they built on it. So I think a great lesson for all of us to learn as we move ahead trying to figure out what the hell agencies are supposed to do in the world anymore. Anyway, this is here. This is George Felix. I want to play a clip of him talking about the work that he was doing and where the original campaign came from for Old Spice. Here's the clip.
That whole campaign wasn't even really planned. It was all a competitive response to Unilever that was launching Dove for Men. So Dove was this massively successful brand for women, you know, multi-billion-dollar brand. And now they were like, oh, we're going to now launch this men's line. And Old Spice, frankly, was, especially Old Spice Body Wash, which I was the assistant brand manager on, was not doing very well at the time. And so, you know, essentially the retailers were kind of like, hey, this new brand's coming in. They're spending a ton of money. If you guys don't pick it up, you're going to lose space on the shelf, which is a real death knell for a brand like that. So this was kind of a, how do we get ahead of this and do something that can hopefully thwart their launch? And so the brief, you know, we thought the whole thing would just be really leaning into this masculinity. And if you have to say it's for men, it can't be for men, like blah, blah, blah. And we gave them the brief. And of course, the, you know, one of the nuggets from the insights team is what sparked the creative, which is exactly what you said, Fergus. It was like, I think it was like 60% of men's body wash was actually purchased by a woman, be it your mom, your wife, or your girlfriend. And so, you know, the agency said, wow, this is pretty eye-opening, because, you know, this women's brand that is very successful, they're probably going to make it really easy for these women who are already buying stuff for their men to just buy this, you know, the same product they're buying, which in a lot of cases was Dove. And so that's where they came back with the swing thought of, you know, Old Spice kind of naturally had always talked to men, being a men's brand. They said, we think we need to figure out a way to talk to both men and women at the same time. And that's where the Man Your Man Can Smell Like kind of was born. And the first line in that commercial is, hello, ladies.
Anyway, great stuff. I hope you enjoy this episode. We're going to be talking about the new work for Chili's Bar and Grill with George Felix, CMO, and Jeff McCrory, CSO and partner of Mischief in New York. Enjoy. We'll be right back. Before we get to this week's episode, let's talk fast food trends. Trexsuit's data shows that a whopping 93% of the U.S. population have purchased fast food in the past 3 months. With huge names and equally huge marketing budgets, it's no surprise that brand awareness for multiple brands is especially high. No fewer than 8 reach over 90%. But dig a bit deeper and there are some fascinating insights. Take the marketing funnel for Chick-fil-A. Overall brand awareness sits at 92% and consideration at 62%, which is almost as high as market leader McDonald's. When it comes to actual usage, however, Chick-fil-A has only half that of McDonald's. But Chick-fil-A is clearly developing a loyal fan base, with 19% of consumers declaring it to be their preferred brand, almost triple the average of top competitors, and even higher than McDonald's. Could you use brand metrics for your category? Tracksuit is a beautiful, affordable, and always-on brand tracking tool that helps you answer the question, is what we're doing working? Tracksuit is fast becoming the common language for businesses in competitive categories to measure and communicate the value of brand building. You can check them out at gotracksuit.com. That's gotracksuit.com. Now back to the show. We're talking about a brand, George, that is coming up on 50 years old. It's become a super cluttered category, and the definition of casual dining has dramatically changed. I mean, there's a spectrum of casual dining restaurants and dining rooms that are very different than they were back in the day. Some are a lot less casual. Is that fair to say that definition and that scope has become very different, and therefore you're looking at a different customer over time?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's certainly more crowded. That's for sure. And, you know, you've got this, you know, casual dining, which is the most, you know, direct way to describe the category of the restaurant industry that we play in. Obviously fast food is continuing to grow, but then you've had this, like, you know, relatively recent addition of fast casual, you know, in there as well, which is somewhere like a hybrid between, you know, kind of fast food and traditional casual dining sit down restaurants. So it's certainly more crowded. Delivery technology has changed the whole restaurant landscape as well. So I think it's harder now than ever to one, just be top of mind for, you know, consumers, because they have so many options, and it's easier than ever to try new restaurants. So, you know, that I think that landscape has changed quite a bit.
So was Chili's, or has it always been known for a certain type of food? I mean, we can't get that jingle out of our heads around baby back ribs, but ribs is not what it was initially built on, right?
No, it wasn't. You know, burgers, I think, have always been a part of Chili's. Chili, in fact, yes, chili was kind of where it all started. So chili was a part of the original menu. There were tacos on the original menu as well. And then beer and margaritas were also part of the original menu. So I'd say those were kind of the core foundation of Chili's. Since then, it's certainly evolved. And I think, you know, the way we describe it is, Southwest inspired American favorites.
So you went through COVID. It's obviously tough for the industry. You come out of COVID. You're now beginning to invest in sort of bringing the brand back. It seems to me that not a lot of the other sort of, we'll call them legacy brands for now, ones that have been around as long as Chili's, they don't seem to be investing at the level that you guys seem to be, or else your creative work is breaking through a lot better than others. But I mean, I look at other brands such as Olive Garden and others in that space that have been around for a number of decades. They seem to be sort of trading on their brand equity rather than continuing to build and evolve. Is that a worry that you had, that you weren't sort of relevant today in the way that you were in the past?
Yeah, it was definitely a concern and probably the number one priority for me coming in into this role. So I've been here for almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years coming up here in July. And so it was an interesting situation to come into, because Chili's, coming out of the pandemic, had really been off of national advertising for over 3 years. And so the competition in our space, that you referenced, they've been continuous spenders, even through the pandemic. You know, they might have pulled back a bit, but they did not go completely off. And so, we were in a situation where I think Chili's had lost relevance. You know, we were honest with ourselves. Like, people still knew Chili's, but it really lost kind of relevance. Chili's wasn't top of mind when you were thinking about where a great place to go to eat would be. And then we had this deficit of, we're not spending as well. So, and our competition is spending quite a bit. So, for us, it was a little daunting, and that's where we just had to look at holistically as a business, our entire strategy, and really understand where we wanted to invest and where we had to make some choices to get to back to investing in the brand, investing in advertising so that we could make Chili's relevant again and get Chili's back in people's minds.
So Jeff, for the listener, George has been behind some of the most, in my opinion, the most iconic brand campaigns of the last 10 to 20 years. You were behind KFC's Colonel campaign. You were behind Old Spice, the man you wish your man smelled like. You're behind the Tinder work, and now at Chili's. That's for a client like that, Jeff, because you guys have worked together on a number of different brands. What amazing luck it is that you can have a relationship with a client like this. I mean, you guys, I do believe that you guys sort of draw clients like bees to honey because of your reputation. But what is it about a client like Jeff, or by your point, a client like George?
His track record is insanely good. Like, I wish my book was as good as George's. It's insane. Like,
yeah, it really is. So,
and I think that over time, like, the ability to do it time and again and again and again on different brands at different times in kind of different businesses proves that it's not luck, and it's not just the kind of team that's built around. There's something about George that just inspires creative excellence, and he's able to create amazing teams to help him enable that. And then the way he deals with agencies just makes you extremely confident that you can get to great work. He just sets an insanely comfortable tone for us to be able to be excellent. And he just empowers. It's, again, it feels like I'm blowing a lot of smoke, but again, the track record speaks absolutely for itself. It's amazing. And he's on top of all that, he's just a super decent human being. So again, it's like check, check, check. It's kind of a dream. It's a dream scenario, quite frankly.
How does a client set that tone? Is it the fact that it can't just be that they let you do what you do. It has to be something that they bring to the table. How would you describe it? Because we need so much more of this in this industry.
I think that there's a fundamental belief that creativity can drive the business. And so you can skip past all of those kind of roadblocks. It's like, no, we all agree that trying to find a more unique solution is the right way for us to kind of get to where we need to be together. And then very clear in terms of briefs. Like, we're very collaborative to get to, okay, this, we're very sure about what we want to go tackle. There's not a lot of spin in that system. And then again, just a real comfortable relationship where we're able to kind of like have hands on the table moments at any point. If somebody's not clear, if somebody's not comfortable, there's not a weird dance around it. Like, it's funny. I know all these things are maybe seem obvious when you say them, but they're really hard in practice, right? So these are, yes, these are the kind of fundamental building blocks of how you get to great work time and again. But again, my experience is it's really hard in practice, and George is like an exceptionally good practitioner of all those things.
Yeah, it's really hard in practice to find examples of clients who come from great and then continue to do great. I mean, it's really tough to find that, George. So Where, because, you know, Jeff says this sort of recognition of creativity's ability to build a business. That sounds like a throwaway line, but it's a huge reality. And it's a huge challenge. Where did that appreciation come from specifically for you?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I feel really fortunate when I started my marketing career. So this would have been. I would have been an intern in 2008 at Procter & Gamble on the Old Spice brand. I most of my career I can attribute to being around the right people at the right time. And so in that situation, I was around a group of people, both internally and then from an agency standpoint, that I would say that's where I really learned. You know, I went to business school for marketing and brand management, and that's great. And you sit in a classroom and you talk about all the stuff, but you really learn when you get to go do it. And it was just a awesome time to be on Old Spice because we were right at that point of we've got a brand positioning and a strategy that we think can change the trajectory of the brand. And the way we're going to bring it to life is through breakthrough creative that gets people to notice and think differently about Old Spice. And that was a collection of people at Procter & Gamble working on Old Spice. So my brand manager, James Moorhead, and my marketing director at the time, Kevin Hockman, who has been my boss several times since, including now, really, you know, helped drive that belief that creativity can be the driver of the business. And then obviously the other side of that is the agency. And we were fortunate at the time to have Wieden & Kennedy, their Portland office running our Old Spice account. And so the people on that side of the business really taught me, and it started with Britton Taylor, who's a great strategist. I think, Fergus, you've had him on your show previously. Like, he's the one who really came up, you know, he developed that brand positioning for Old Spice that however many years later now is still in place and is still driving that business.
And what was that brand positioning? Because I can only recall the tagline, but was there, can you recall it? If you don't,
I can remember it. It's a one pager at P&G, you know, they teach you, like, they call it a brand pyramid. And they've got all these things. You got to have the brand purpose and brand voice and all those things. But they put it on the old clipper ship, the Old Spice clipper ship. So I can literally still picture it. But the Old Spice's brand purpose was to help guys navigate the seas of manhood, which if you remember at the time, you know, Axe was new on the scene and they were selling, you know, sex in a can. And it was, you know, that we're talking to young guys that are going through puberty. And so it's a noble purpose to be, we want to be the brand that helps you navigate this really turbulent time in your life. And we threw in the nautical theme, you know, to tie into the brand. The brand voice was, and I think this is really where stuff started to unlock creatively, was the honest, experienced big brother who doesn't take himself too seriously. And I think that's where, if you think of the humor that Old Spice has, it's like, yeah, we want you to get the girl. That's great. But we're not going to promise you this ridiculous promise that Axe was at the time. We're going to be that big brother that shows you the ropes and pokes fun at you and doesn't take himself too seriously. And so much of, I think, what made Old Spice great was that sense of humor, and it all gets derived from that that brand voice. And so it all laddered up to Old Spice being the official brand of manmanship. And I think that positioning, you know, I mean, I didn't realize it at the time. This was the first great brand positioning I ever worked on. And I inherited it, which was great because Britton and that team had already developed it. But I didn't realize at the time how great it was, because like, even as the definition of mansmanship and masculinity has changed, you know, in the last however many, you know, 15, you know, plus years, it's still relevant. Old Spice can still flex and be that brand character. And that can still be really relevant, which I think is the sign of a really great brand position.
I remember reading a couple of times that one of the unlocks was the fact that women were buying the majority of deodorants from men. I can see the connection between that observation and then ultimately what you guys executed in terms of the man you wish your man smelled like.
Yeah, that whole campaign wasn't even really planned. It was all a competitive response to Unilever that was launching Dove for Men. So Dove was this massively successful brand for women, you know, multi-billion-dollar brand. And now they were like, oh, we're going to now launch this men's line. And Old Spice, frankly, was, especially Old Spice Body Wash, which I was the assistant brand manager on, was not doing very well at the time. And so, you know, essentially the retailers were kind of like, hey, this new brand's coming in. They're spending a ton of money. If you guys don't pick it up, you're going to lose space on the shelf, which is a real death knell for a brand like that. So this was kind of how do we get ahead of this and do something that can hopefully thwart their launch? And so the brief, you know, we thought the whole thing would just be really leaning into this masculinity. And if you have to say it's for men, it can't be for men, like blah, blah, blah. And we gave them the brief. And of course, the, you know, one of the nuggets from the insights team is what sparked the creative, which is exactly what you said, Fergus. It was like, I think it was like 60% of men's body wash was actually purchased by a woman, be it your mom, your wife, or your girlfriend. And so, you know, the agency said, wow, this is pretty eye-opening, because, you know, this women's brand that is very successful, they're probably going to make it really easy for these women who are already buying stuff for their men to just buy this, you know, the same product they're buying, which in a lot of cases was Dove. And so that's where they came back with the swing thought of, you know, Old Spice kind of naturally had always talked to men, being a men's brand. They said, we think we need to figure out a way to talk to both men and women at the same time. And that's where the Man Your Man Can Smell Like kind of was born. And the first line in that commercial is, hello, ladies. And
it's so great.
The rest is history, I guess.
It was so brilliant. So, Jeff, coming back to Chili's, what was the problem that Chili's came to you guys with?
Yeah, this is actually pretty funny, because so George had worked with us before, and then he went to Chili's, and he called us, and this is a great example of, like, sometimes they're like, don't overthink your way out of greatness. So he called us and said, hey, can I talk to you guys about Brian McKnight and Three for Me? And we were like, okay. And so it was basically the first engagement was, they were retooling the Three for Me meal, which is, again, exceptional value. And it's a little complicated to explain, right? Because you got to explain that you get pick an appetizer, pick a main, pick a drink. So it's a little bit of complexity to it. And they had started, they'd had a couple talks with Brian McKnight, honestly, because he had a famous song that has like a three-step process in it. So it's like, it's kind of like, do you think we can put those together in a way that makes sense? And I say that because there's lots of agencies and client relationships where they would spin that out of control for months at a time. Is that the right partnership? And does it make sense? And we were kind of like, well, Chili's has a history of kind of using like musicians in pop culture to drive brand relevance. And it seems like it's kind of like the right kind of goofy fun. Let's just take a run. And so we just did, like, sometimes just embracing the kind of not perfect strategic knitting of things, but there's something there, and just running with it to see where it goes. That's kind of was the start of us working together on Chili's, and it turned out to be absolutely great.
Hi there. Welcome to Chili's. I'm Brian, and I'll be your server.
Are you Brian McKnight?
You think 16-time Grammy-nominated R&B star Brian McKnight is a waiter at Chili's?
Well, your name is Brian.
Well, not him.
You just really look like him.
Not him.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Have you dined here before? Do you know how the Three for Me meal works?
No, actually.
It's undeniable the certain foods belong together. It's unbelievable how good a drink goes with an app and an entree.
One,
you gotta choose your drink.
Two,
now give an app a think.
Three,
girl, it's time to see what you want your main course to be in.
Coke, chips and salsa, and chicken crispers.
Like, again, there's enough strategic foundational stuff to that that it makes sense. But again, I think that a lot of people would have overthought that to death, and we just ran right at it, and it turned out really great. Is that quite a summarizer?
I would say, like, I totally agree. And like, it's really a funny thing. I think this is one of the things that makes working with Mischief so fun. And I don't think people realize. I mean, we're on this call, and of course, Greg Hahn's on the call as well, and Jeff and Gary, and you're sitting there, and I'm like, I feel embarrassed. I'm like pitching this thing to Greg, and like, I'm like, Greg is gonna be like, oh my god, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And this is what makes them so great. Like exactly what Jeff said. He's like, they don't overthink it. They don't have an ego that says, this thing didn't start with us, so we're not gonna do it. Like they just took it on. They knew they could have fun with it, and they crushed it. They absolutely crushed it, and it's like it was so fun. And it was like the first, you know, as I came in here and we were trying to just do more with Chili's, it was like the best part for me was internally. And we have a lot of, you know, one of the great parts of working at Chili's, we have a ton of people that have worked at this company for 10, 20, 30 years. They started in restaurant and now work at our headquarters. And they're like, this feels like Chili's. Like, they're like, this feels like the Chili's that we love. And like, we're getting back to being Chili's. And so, you know, not all agencies, would take that call. And, you know, a lot of them would say, not our thing, but they just embraced it. And, it was awesome.
So what's interesting to me about that is, to both of your credits, you're both coming to the table with something that is not traditional, meaning it's usually that the client will come with a marketing strategy rather than almost a fully formed idea. And then on the agency side, it's like, as you say, there wasn't the ego to dismiss that because it wasn't born of us. It was like, yeah, let's ramp it up and make it even better. So is that what you like, George? Do you like, I mean, is what you love about this the idea, or is it the strategy, or what is it that excites you most?
I will tell you, like, that is pretty rare. I'm not a big fan of like trying to like serve up like a great idea from our side to the agency. So I'm a much bigger fan of the taking like an insight or having that beginnings of a strategy, and then working with a partner like Jeff and his team that can really take what, you know, and that's where I think the magic starts, is taking something and really spinning it up into a full-fledged strategy that we think we can then go build something great off of. And so I think that's more, you know, traditionally what goes on. And that's the part that excites me. And I think on this latest campaign that we just launched last week, that's where, you know, we really saw some of that magic. And I think we've got something here that we can build on for a while to come.
And it, for me, at least, the beauty of Chili's is, like George mentioned, like the internal people feeling like, yeah, this feels like Chili's. Like, Chili's at its best has a voice that is really unique, right? There's something that is very fun and self-aware and of culture. And it makes you laugh and smile in ways that not a lot of brands do anymore, quite frankly. Like, it's odd that feels unique in the market at this time. And so I think we felt our job was really like just trying to find Chili's, find its way back to that voice. And how do you do it in a way that feels right for 2024?
How has Chili's been a part of being sort of, what would the term you use, being of culture? I can't remember, forgive me for what you just said there, but what are the examples of Chili's being that way? Because in my mind, what's stuck in my brain is baby back ribs, big red pepper, meal deals, But I don't remember it being of the culture or in culture. Is there even an example or two you guys could share just so the listener can kind of get oriented?
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I'd say, you know, the 90s, maybe into the early 2000s, probably the heyday, for Chili's, particularly of having these moments in pop culture. So, they had, you know, obviously the baby back ribs jingle was certainly like probably the big thing that everyone remembers. So not surprising, Fergus, that you said that was the number one thing you thought of. That's pretty common. Then after that became big, they brought on NSYNC, when they were, you know, very, very popular, you know, near the height of their popularity, to do campaigns with them where they did a riff on the jingle and did commercials and all sorts of stuff. I think they're also, definitely a popular reference in the Austin Powers movies by, everyone's favorite Pat Bastard.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yep. There it is. And then, another one, I think that, you know, that we also, you know, kind of brought back and capitalized on was The Office. And so, if you recall, they had one of the Dundies Awards that Michael Scott hosted for his team, took place in a Chili's. Pam, Jenna Fisher played Pam on the show. She got too drunk at a Chili's in the show and got banned from Chili's. And then I think the social team, this before I got here, they finally unbanned her from Chili's a few years back. So. I think those are probably, you know, probably the big ones, and they happened within a certain period of time there that, Chili's just was kind of doing things that, you know, they're popping up in unexpected places, which is always to me a good sign that you're a brand in culture.
Like, Chili's is one of those brands I think people have a real soft spot for, like there's latent equity into it. And so again, it's just about how can we help kind of remind people in all the right ways of why Chili's is kind of unique and special to them.
That sort of remembering Chili's in a certain way, is it a new audience that you're primarily after with this work, guys? Is it because the physical Chili's is still where it's been for many years, and maybe I haven't been going in there? Are you trying to get me back in, or are you trying to get completely new people in? I mean, what's your sort of, how do you look at your target?
Yeah. It's a little of both, to be honest. I mean, you know, certainly when we talk about who are our creative bullseye, like we're probably looking at millennial families, that, you know, they're probably parents that have kids, maybe young kids. My kids are 13 and 10. I think I'd fall into this, category as well as someone that might have grown up, you know, going to a Chili's and has memories of a Chili's, but maybe hasn't been back for 10 years or so, and we've kind of fallen out of that habit. But then certainly, you know, we can't just focus there. You certainly, like, we have a huge opportunity with the younger audience to bring in just net new people, or reintroduce, introduce our brand to a younger audience. And I think that's where, you know, the work that we're doing with Mischief and some of the things we're doing from a food and drink innovation standpoint are certainly targeting a younger audience. We just launched an espresso martini 2 weeks ago, and we know that's a big trending cocktail, and we're doing it with, you know, the Vanderpump Rules ladies. So again, tapping into Mischief's ability to really kind of have a pulse on pop culture and start to think, wow, can I get an espresso martini at Chili's? Like, wow, that changes the way you think about Chili's, and that's kind of where we're focused.
So, Jeff, for you, the initial call comes. There's this idea of Brian McKnight. You guys do a really great execution of it, and we'll drop that into the track here. But do you then take a step back and have that conversation around, well, what should the strategy be going forward, or does it begin to happen more organically, where you're sort of building the plane while you're flying?
So it's a little bit more organic, I would say. And I like Chili's was an example where once we got under the hood, it felt like they had done a lot of the homework pretty well, and so we don't need to relitigate it. Like, it seems like a lot of the foundational strategy points for the brand made real good sense to us. So it was then about, okay, well, what are the priorities around the business? What do we want to do? Like, what do you want to advertise or concentrate on next? And then how do we kind of, again, help bring Chili's voice to those things? So it wasn't like the brand wasn't figured out in any way, shape, or form. And we had to like, let's do the whole triangle thingy. And no, it was like all of it made really good sense. Maybe a little bit of turning the knobs on it and tightening it up ever so slightly, but it was like really, really solid. And then it's like, okay, now how do we bring that to life around the business in ways that make sense? And so that's kind of been the journey that we've been on so far. At some point we should talk about the latest campaign with the insane Chili, because he's unhinged in all the right ways. Yeah. And so it would be, again, it's an example of this very like rational, like trying to kind of describe or bring to life Chili's value proposition. Like the three for me meal at $10.99, like, again, it's like I feel like I'm selling, but it's like you can't find better value. Like, you just, it's impossible. Like, it's an insane amount of really good food at an exceptional price point, and value is incredibly important to people in all dining occasions across all brands at this moment. But it's a hard thing to do, right? You see lots of like all food shots of like supers and voiceovers with price points, right? But we found a really different and quite sticky way to bring to life Chili's value proposition. It's just, again, trying to find the most creatively interesting way to tell that story in a way that feels really, really right for Chili's.
Was this Chili's three for me only $10.99 when fast food is so expensive?
It could be because we don't have to pay for any mascots.
Please! I was born for this! Please!
Never gonna happen!
Wait, I know the song! I want my baby back, baby back, baby back.
He doesn't work here.
Chili's baby back ribs!
Three for me means more for you. Get a bottomless drink, bottomless chips and salsa, and the all-new Big Smasher Burger with fries for just $10.99 only at Chili's.
You've taken your distinctive brand assets, and instead of trying to reinvent the Chili's for today by changing shit, you're freshening things. You're making those assets be relevant for today. And I'm assuming that's what the angle is around sort of bringing the Chili to life in this funky, cool way that you guys are doing now.
It's certainly part of it. And some of it's just it's a really fun, creative idea. So, like when I've worked on these brands, like, you know, we kind of call that initial exercise like digging through the attic, you know, of the brand, figuring out what to work with and kind of dusting those things off and figuring out what are the things that are truly iconic and distinctive that you want to keep and you'd be crazy to change. And then, you know, then how do you make them relevant to today? And so in this case, you know, we brought Jeff and team this interesting challenge. So this, you know, as he said, this three for me deal, we think it's, you know, unbeatable value, but, you know, and we do all that stuff Jeff talked about, like the food only stuff and the supers, cause that's part of the deal. But we have this saying that, you know, I've learned at some of my previous brands that, you know, my job as a marketer is to drive sales overnight and build the brand over time. And I want to be doing both of those at the same time. And there are some tactical things that we just have to do, being a restaurant brand that we know work, and we're going to do those things. But we also want to make sure we're also building the brand over time. And so when what we brought to Mischief was, there was this conversation already bubbling up on social media, which it was always great because it's better than us trying to spur create a conversation out of nowhere. And the conversation that was happening, and this was months and months ago, was, you know, holy crap, like, I've got sticker shock going through the drive-through. Like, I can't believe how much this costs, and, you know, it can, you know, how could I have spent this much money? And as we started just kind of dabbling out there on social, kind of putting our three for me deal out there as a comparison point to fast food, people really started jumping on it, and there are several, you know, TikToks and other things that definitely went crazy a little bit in terms of people pointing out how great the value at Chili's was. And so we thought this could be an interesting starting point for a brief and for a creative team. And so we didn't do a whole lot beyond that, to be honest. And that's where I said Jeff and his team kind of have the magic of taking these nuggets and these beginnings of insights. And man, they came back to us with the brief on what they were going to give to the creative team on how, you know, fast food could be the foil for Chili's. and how we can really start to break through and get people to notice this meal. So it's more than just a price point. It's more than, you know, just us screaming, look at us, how great our value is. It's really, you know, doing it in a fun and breakthrough way. And so that's kind of the beginnings of it. And then, you know, Jeff and team crafted this great brief, and then, you know, and then the creative team, you know, went to work from there. And that's how we got to where we are, which we think is a awesome, like awesome articulation of what we're trying to do and trying to explain to people, which is like this idea of like, how the heck can Chili's sell all the stuff for $10.99? There must be some reason. Please explain how this is possible. And you know, Jeff can talk more about just how Mischief took it from there, but just poking some fun, you know, and this gets back to tone of voice and Chili's finding its voice, but just having some fun with it.
So we, as George mentioned, we dug pretty deep into all the social chatter around the growing kind of anger around how expensive fast food was becoming. And again, all the social listening grouped that up into this like kind of very compelling argument for why Chili's just felt like this impossibly good deal. And again, I think part of the challenge of strategy is not overcomplicating it. So it's like, well, the story is right there. Here's a really tight way to think about the foil for what we can compare to so that you can understand the value. And then the creative teams just went to work.
So Jeff, you know, we always talk in strategy and brand about brand platforms or brand propositions. Beyond the value dimension of it, what is the sort of Chili's proposition or brand platform or whatever label you might put on it so far with your work with them?
It's funny. I don't know that it would have, like, I don't believe Chili's has what you would qualify as like a tight traditional brand platform, like a formula that you would roll out over time and time again in a tagline. It's funny, I've had this debate a couple times over the last couple of weeks of whether or not brands even need those anymore. Like maybe, but maybe not, right? Because I feel like Chili's, again, it has a very distinct voice that you understand when the tone and the sensibility feels exactly right for Chili's, but then leaves all kinds of room for how we can bring that voice to life, depending upon what the needs are, depending on what the project are. We don't have to follow an executional format. We have the freedom to try to figure out what the right way to bring that voice to individual projects is. So I think when we do it well, it all still absolutely feels like Chili's. Like you get a sense for the brand, but again, it's not formulaic as a traditional brand platform you would think of when you think of that. Is that a fair way to put it, George?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think it requires trust on both sides when you take that approach, and you know, like an understanding that there are certain things we want to lean into from a brand and a distinctive asset standpoint, so that in absence of like that, you know, memorable tagline or you know, something like that, that people are it's going to be unmistakably Chili's, you know, whatever you see. And I think you could see what the work Mischief's done for us, whether it was Brian McKnight, Boys to Men, Vanderpump. It's kind of funny saying all these names in one sentence. This new campaign that just launched, like they all feel Chili's to me. Yes, we're talking about our great value, but along the way, they're going to highlight other parts that make Chili's different, or you know, in our case, you know, in what we believe, better than fast food options, and that can be everything from the environment to, you know, people, you know, getting to sit down together and eat, and the service you get at Chili's, and we can hit on all those things through this one kind of consistent creative platform over time. And so, you know, I get really excited about that, knowing that value is going to be something we want to keep coming back to. But then at the same time, you know, in between when we're running these bigger media spikes, I know I can also throw Jeff's team some pretty crazy ideas that are maybe unexpected, and all those things can stitch together to kind of build this brand that we want, you know, the brand that we want to be.
Is part of your sort of distinctive assets, is part of it the fact that you need to reinforce in people's minds that you're a casual dining, sit-down restaurant? And is that why most of these spots, if not all of them, are taking place in the restaurant?
I mean, I'll speak first and Jeff can jump in too. But yeah, I mean, for us, yes. I mean, casual dining is an interesting space. And I think it's an interesting time to be in the category coming out of the pandemic in particular, you know, wherever we are in that post-pandemic stage, that I think, like, one thing that I think is constant, and this goes even to like the work that Jeff and team are doing on Tinder, but like human connection is very important, right? And like there is something about that and bringing people together. And so for us, we really believe Chili's can be a place that people of all walks of life can come in and intermingle and have a great time. And so for us, we think it's a competitive advantage that we want to show off. And so the team's done a great job of finding different ways to come into a Chili's and make that, you know, show that off.
One of the great lessons I've learned over my career is sometimes embrace the executional mandatories. We want to show the restaurant. So it's like, okay, find a way to show the restaurant. And good agencies don't, that's not a, it doesn't become a barrier. It just becomes part of the puzzle or the pieces of the puzzle that you have to put together. So it's like, yeah, and I agree with George that there's, yes, convenience, yes, all of these things. We're becoming more digital, so all of that's true. And for every trend, there's a kind of equal, or maybe not quite equal, smaller but powerful counter trend. And so I think people want to actually be with each other live every once in a while. Like, I think that that's only growing more important as we get maybe less connected in other ways. So kind of reminding people that Chili's is a place where you can just walk in and sit down and grab a meal and some cool drinks, and it's not going to break your bank. But there's a simple magic to that that I think is wonderful.
So Jeff, you just said something about 3 minutes ago that probably every listener was going, follow up. This thing about you may feel that brands don't always or don't need a brand platform. You've had conversations about that. Can you take us inside that opinion for a minute or two?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I think it's one of those things where it's like there's probably still a role for it for a lot of brands. And if you can get there, it's probably great. But I don't know that it's always needed, particularly as social becomes ever more important for brands. I think as social media and your ability to really, really use social effectiveness, I feel like that's much more about voice than it is about brand platform. So once you get your voice figured out, I think social is a bit of a game of trying to find new but same ways to bring the brand voice to life. I don't think you can run a formula necessarily in social and keep interest. I just think that the world's shifted a little bit. And so because of that, I don't know that you always, every brand needs a super, super tight brand platform anymore. I'm not saying go guardrail to guardrail. I just think there might be an increasing world of flexibility within that. Everybody's going to at me. It's like, bring it, let's go.
Yeah, but isn't voice a proxy for a platform?
No, I don't think, like, a platform for me would be you have a tagline and some sort of executional format that you tend to run more than not, right? So it's just a little bit more tight in terms of it. And again, I think voice is just there's a little bit more flexibility in how that can come to life.
So is part of that the idea that in social, you have to be willing to let go a bit and let whomever you're associated with express it in their own way and not dictate it too much. But you also need to at least stand for something so that your brand can survive within that social dynamic.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think you want to abdicate complete control to your brand.
Yeah.
I think that's a disaster. But I think that there's a little bit more of a two-way play into it, and allowing people to participate and engage in the brand in a way that makes sense. I think those are really additive and good for brands. So letting just slightly control or letting go of the reins just ever so slightly, as hard as that might be, I think that's the world we live in now.
Does that ring true for you also, George?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have a great social team. Jesse Johnson is my VP, and Luce Bickert, they run our social, and they do a masterful job of this. And it's, you know, sometimes it's, and honestly, it just depends even on the platform you're on, right? On X or I don't know if I still feel weird saying that on Twitter. That's jumping into conversations and knowing just what, you know, when Chili's should have a point of view on something and when it makes sense to jump in. And, you know, on TikTok, it's completely different. And I think they've taught me a lot in terms of how to, you know, again, I think what Jeff said is we kind of need to know who we are as a brand, and we do have, you know, a sense of who we are as a brand, and we've defined that, and we have a tone of voice that we want to hit. So I think we have those elements defined. I think it's when Jeff talked about that real standard, you know, like tagline and consistent execution elements, I think that's where we've opened it up a little bit. But everything we do, we have a filter that we're running it through that makes sure that, you know, we feel like that's Chili's.
Thank you both for your time. I'm just glad we just got to chat here, and I could spend another hour just talking about the way you guys work together and what makes it work so well. And maybe we'll do that on another time. It's George Felix, Chief Marketing Officer at Chili's Grill and Bar in Dallas, Texas. And Jeff McCrory is Chief Strategy Officer and Partner at Mischief in New York City. Thank you all for all that you're doing to inspire so many of us out here. So thanks for your time today.
Awesome. Thank you both.
Cheers.
And we'll see everyone on the next episode.